Radio Prague News.
The Ministry of Industry and Trade is considering canceling a long-running health subsidy for minors, the Daily Pravo reports. Police in Prague city center have discovered two small children whose parents had never taken them outdoors. And Prime Minister Petr Nečas has met with his Moldavian counterpart and confirmed Czech developmental aid for the country next year. The Ministry of Industry and Trade is considering cancelling a long-running health subsidy for coal miners, the Daily Pravo reports. The subsidy entails 1,500 to 1,900 crowns in compensation per month paid by the employer to miners who leave their jobs for health reasons and has been in place since 1993. The cancellation of the subsidy would change nothing in the state's budget but would mean savings of up to 50 million crowns for large coal mining companies. According to documents that the paper says it possesses, the ministry believes the subsidy reflects a time when miners faced worse conditions in their work environments and a greater risk of illness. The miners' union, which is protesting the move, says that hardly anything has changed in that time and that the idea is needless provocation. Police in Prague city centre have discovered two small children whose parents had never taken them out of doors, the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reports. The children, a boy aged 3 and an 18-month-old girl, were apparently born at home, had never been taken to a doctor, and were in good physical but poor psychological condition. The paper reports that the parents were trying to protect the children from an evil world and had lost interest in them after they were touched by another person. They are now in the care of their grandparents after being taken to a children's center. Police will not say whether the parents will be prosecuted. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says that Moldavia will be one of the five priority countries for Czech developmental aid next year. Speaking to the press after a meeting with his Moldavian counterpart, Vlad Filat, Mr. Nečas said that the small East European country was a priority for the Visegrad group as a whole on account of its reform efforts and pro-European stance. He also noted that Moldavia offers opportunities for Czech investment, particularly in the areas of energy and transportation infrastructure. The Czech press agency says that Moldavia is to receive 66.5 million crowns in developmental aid from the Czech Republic next year. Prior to the press conference, Czech and Moldavian officials signed bilateral agreements on the return of illegal aliens, cooperation in healthcare and social security. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly sunny, with highs of around 6 to 9 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. In today's program, the mayor of Prague has frozen contract signed by the city police force after the head of the force was arrested last week on suspicion of having accepted a bribe. A new survey shows how much internet use by households in the Czech Republic has gone up, and we'll also have Czech history looking at the life and times of Emma Destinová. Don't go away. The mayor of Prague has frozen all contracts signed by the city police force and ordered a full investigation after the head of the force was arrested last week on suspicion of accepting a bribe. Vladimír Kotrouš, Prague City Police Force president, is now in custody after anti-organized crime task force members arrested him with a large amount of cash on his person. Rob Cameron has more.
Vladimír Kotrouš getting used to being on the inside of a police van after being remanded in custody on Sunday to stand trial on corruption charges. Mr. Kotrouš, in charge of the city police since 2002, was arrested in his car on Friday afternoon after police videotaped him receiving a substantial sum of money, which they suspect was a bribe. Mr. Kotrouš was apprehended near the headquarters of a company which provides the police with towing services, fueling speculation that the alleged bribe was for awarding the contract to the company. However, Pavel Hantak, spokesman for the elite anti-organized crime unit in charge of the case, told Czech television he was unable to comment on the claims for risk of jeopardizing the investigation.
The
only thing I can say at the moment is that this involved a rather large amount of money in Czech crowns. I can't provide any more specific information at the moment.
Nebudu se skutečně v současné době vyjadřovat takto konkrétním informacím.
Vladimír Kotroš could face up to 12 years in prison if found guilty. The case is likely to go to trial sometime in the spring. It would be the highest profile corruption case involving a serving police officer in Czech history.
Budeme se snažit to stádium.
Mr. Kotroš's boss, Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, has suspended him and also moved him to a different department until the criminal case is resolved. Mayor Svoboda has also ordered all contracts signed by the city police to be frozen and investigated. Under local law, all contracts over 2 million crowns, that's just over $100,000, must be subject to a public tender, but anything under that amount can be awarded at the police's discretion. The city police have so far signed 30 such contracts in 2011, including the purchase of pistols and mini cameras. All are now likely to be closely scrutinised. The city police under Mr. Kotroš has been the subject of criticism and even ridicule for its lavish equipment. It owns two Hummer vehicles, more commonly used by the US Army in Iraq and Afghanistan, and also a powerful motorboat, which has got its hull wet just once during the 2002 floods.
Okay, Rob Cameron reporting there on the situation surrounding the city police force president Vladimír Kotroš. We turn now to this story. Over the past 5 years, the Czech Republic has seen a massive rise in the number of internet users. According to the latest official figures, the number of Czech homes connected to the World Wide Web rose by 125% over that period. But compared to other countries in the European Union, the Czechs still lag behind. Jan Richter has the details.
Around 2.7 million Czech households now have access to the internet, according to a survey by the Czech Statistical Office released on Tuesday. That accounts for 62% of all Czech homes and represents a marked increase compared to 5 years ago. Statistician Romana Malečková is the author of the latest study.
In 2006, some 1.2 million homes were connected to the internet, while 5 years later, the number rose to 2.5 million households. This means that over the past 5 years, the number increased by 125%.
But despite such a sharp increase in the numbers of internet users, the Czech Republic is still behind most other EU member states. In some of the leading countries like the Netherlands, Luxembourg and Sweden, around 90% of homes have internet connections, the EU average being 70%. Even in some other post-communist countries like Slovenia, Estonia and Poland, the numbers of online homes are higher. Miloslav Sova is the founder of Internet for All, an association promoting the spread of the internet. He believes it will take years before the Czechs catch up.
I don't think we can really level up with the leading countries over the next 5 or 10 years. That will only happen with a change of generations. Elderly people in Sweden, Denmark, and even Germany became familiar with the internet earlier than those in the Czech Republic. People of all ages can, of course, get connected at any time, but in this country, elderly people don't seem to be that interested in new technologies.
In recent years, Czech officials have launched a series of projects aimed at bringing the internet to large numbers of people. One of them, called Internet to Schools, was meant to provide online connections to elementary schools. Another, entitled Wireless Prague, was aimed at building Wi-Fi free spots in parts of the capital. But nearly all such projects failed, or ended with corruption allegations, which makes Miroslav Sova skeptical about the role of the authorities in this particular field.
Over the last decade or so, whenever the authorities tried to do something or regulate something, the outcome was poor. Personally speaking, I would appreciate if the authorities stopped intervening in IT business and related issues.
Miloslav Sova, the founder of Internet for All, ending that report by Jan Richter, looking at how Internet use by Czech households has gone up over the last 5 years. And of course, if you're on the internet, you can comment on that story or anything else you hear at Radio Prague by writing to english@radio.cz. Do let us know what you think of our program and drop us a line. We're always happy to hear from our listeners, and some of your comments may even make it onto the air in our mailbox program. Also, visit us on the internet. The address is radio.cz, where you'll find many more stories and features about everything from Czech politics to culture and art. Now, though, we turn to today's main feature, which is Czech history, this time brought to you by Pavla Horáková, looking at the life and times of Emma Destinová.
Destinová was born in Prague in 1878 as Emilia Pavlína Kytlová to a wealthy patriotic family. She was a very gifted child, encouraged in her early interest in music by her parents, who were enthusiastic supporters of the arts. Emma first studied the violin with Ferdinand Lachner and acting with the famous Prague actress Otilia Sklenářová-Malá. From 1892 to 1897, she studied voice with Maria Lerva Destin, whose name Emma later adopted as a tribute to her beloved teacher. Young Emma was first rejected by three opera houses, before she finally appeared in Berlin's Hofoper in June 1898 as Santuzza in Masani's Cavalleria Rusticana. Her performance was an instant success. But before we start the account of Emma Destinová's successes in the world of opera, we should mention that before her first appearance on stage, Emma had made her artistic debut as a writer. František Fürbach is a historian and chairman of the Emma Destinová Club, which was founded in 1992 in the town of Jindřichův Hradec.
Málo kdo ví, že jako umělkyně se také zabývala tvorbou literární.
Few people know that Emma Destinová was not only a diva, but also an accomplished writer. Writing was not a mere pastime for her. In her passport, she stated both singer and author as her occupation. She started writing when she was very young. At the age of 14, she wrote some fine poetry. And at the age of 18, in 1896, three of her dramas were premiered in Prague. So, she made her first artistic appearance as a playwright. Not a singer.
Ona debutovala jako umělkyně nikoli jako pěvkyně, ale jako dramatická autorka.
For the next decade after her singing debut in Berlin, Emma enjoyed success after success. She sang in more than 40 roles and made over 700 stage appearances at the Berlin Hofoper. The triumph of her Berlin engagement was her spectacular performance of Richard Strauss's Salome, first performed in December 1906 with Strauss conducting the orchestra. For the 1901-1902 season, Emma was a guest performer at the opera in the German city of Bayreuth, where her artistic achievements opened doors for her to famous European opera houses, including London's Covent Garden. For 12 spring seasons between 1904 and 1919, Emma performed in London, making 225 appearances in 18 operas on Covent Garden's stage. One of her most acclaimed performances at Covent Garden was the London premiere of Giacomo Puccini's Madame Butterfly in 1905, where she sang with perhaps the greatest tenor of all times, Enrico Caruso. Emma Destinová and Caruso sang together on 47 occasions in London, in a succession of operas including Cavalleria Rusticana, Aida, Don Giovanni, Madame Butterfly, and Tosca. Un po' sorriso, un guardo, The peak of Emma Destinová's career were her years at the most prestigious opera in the world, the New York Metropolitan Opera. She sang 8 full seasons at the Met, where she made 250 stage appearances in 21 roles. Her most acclaimed role at the Metropolitan was Minnie with Caruso and Toscanini in the world premiere of Puccini's La Fanciulla del West. In America, Emma experienced triumphant success and earned a fortune. However, her impressive career was interrupted by the First World War. Emma's return from New York to war-torn Europe in 1916 had fateful consequences for her career. Her links with the patriotic resistance movement at home resulted in her passport being confiscated and she was confined to her summer residence, a manor house at Straš nad Nežárkou in South Bohemia. Her 2-year absence from the Met had meanwhile opened doors for a new generation of singers. As the war drew to its end, Emma Destinová was allowed to sing at Prague's National Theatre. She made 82 appearances on its stage. She also performed in theatres in Pilsen, Brno and several other venues. The audience everywhere greeted her with enthusiastic manifestations of support for her patriotism, which was central to Emma's character. That is also why Emma promoted Czech opera during her entire career. And a half decades after her debut, in the 1922-1923 season, she bid farewell to regular artistic activity with a concert tour around Scandinavia and a number of guest appearances on home stages in the cities of Pilsen, Bratislava, Ostrava, Brno and Prague. Emma Destinová spent her last years at her manor in Straš nad Nežárkou, walking in the woods and fishing in the river. But much of her time was occupied with her manor house, the management of its woods and ponds, and the mill, brewery and distillery, which Emma later bought. These took up all her time and drained substantially her large fortune. On January the 28th, 1930, at the age of only 52, Emma Destinová died unexpectedly while visiting her doctor in České Budějovice. To commemorate the 125th anniversary of the diva's birth, the Emma Destinová Club has just published the 4th edition of her novel In the Shade of a Blue Rose. Historian František Firbach again.
Napsala řadu povídek, spousta básní zůstala v rukopise. V rukopise zůstal dlouhou dobu i její německy psaný román.
She wrote a number of short stories. A series of poems remained in manuscript as well as her German novel, Herr Dr. Casanova, describing her beginnings in Berlin. Its Czech translation was published as late as 1988. In 1902, Emma published her collection of poems, Sturm und Ruhe, written in German, and its Czech translation was published in 1995. Her 3-part novel, In the Shade of a Blue Rose, was first published in 1924. The last tome was printed shortly after Emma's death.
Anyone who is interested in the life and work of Emma Destinová should travel to the town of Jindřichův Hradec in South Bohemia to see the permanent exhibition dedicated to the artist in the local museum. But to see a portrait of the diva, you don't have to travel so far. Her image decorates the Czech 2,000 crown banknote. As Mr. Fürbach from the Emma Destinová Club says, the most beautiful banknote in the world.
You've been listening to Czech History with Pavla Horáková. Another chance to hear that episode that was first broadcast way back in 2003. We turn now to today's edition of Soundcheck, our language program in which you can learn Czech through song lyrics. And today's episode is brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Welcome to Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn useful phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's phrase is from a song called Levandulová, meaning the Lavender Girl, and is sung by the country's best-known chanson singer Hana Hegerová. And the phrase to listen out for today is Nekapu ti do noty.
Ne vždycky vařím dobroty a občas mívám teploty. A nekapu ti do noty. A často vzdychám. Ach jo.
Kápnout někomu do noty means to strike the right note with someone. For instance, when you give someone exactly what they want for their birthday or prepare just the right food for lunch. When someone says, kápla si mi do noty, they're saying, this is just what I needed or this is exactly what I wanted to hear. Hana Hegerová sings, nekapu ti do noty, meaning, I don't strike the right note with you.
Ne vždycky vařím dobroty. A občas mívám teploty a nekapu ti do noty.
The phrase kápnout někomu do noty can relate either to an isolated incident when someone says or does something to your liking or to a long-term state of affairs when two people hit it off together and are compatible. Kápli jsme si do noty means we hit it off right away or we get on like a house on fire. Nekápli jsme si do noty means we didn't get on at all, we're very different. Similarly, sedli jsme si means we're well suited, while nesedli jsme si means we didn't take to one another at first sight or right from the start. Now listen to the phrase once again.
Ne vždycky vařím dobroty a občas mívám teploty a nekapu ti do noty.
If you strike the right note with someone and get on really well with them, you can also say, on je má krevní skupina. He has the same blood group as me. We feel the same way about things and we like the same things. A simpler way of saying the same thing is, to je můj člověk. He's my kind of guy. On the other hand, if you do not like someone, you can say, toho nemusím, which means I don't need to be around people like him. Here's Hana Hegerová again with Nekapu ti do noty. I don't strike the right note with you.
Ne vždycky vařím dobroty a občas mívám teploty a nekapu ti do noty.
I hope there's someone out there who knows jak vám kápnout do noty, in other words, how to make you happy, and as few people of the other kind as possible. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me, and naschledanou.
Ach jo, ty si má, levandulová, nádherná se. Levandulová, famózně levandulová, levandulová.
The song Levandulová, written by Petr Hapka and Michal Horáček and sung by Hanna Hegerová, ends that edition of Soundcheck by Daniela Lazarová. And that takes us to the end of today's program. Don't forget, though, you can sign up for your free daily email for all the latest news from the Czech Republic. It's easy. You do so at www.radio.cz. And you can also take part in discussion on Facebook or Twitter. So do that if you are so inclined. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you so much for joining us, and take care.